Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Street Level Floppies Episode 2, a podcast where we highlight creator-owned books and small publishers and imprint titles. I am your host, Andrew. I go by the name Real Comics on Twitter, and I'm excited to talk some comics with you tonight. Let me introduce the rest of the guys. On my left, I have Chris.
Hey, everybody. Episode 2, if you're returning from Episode 1, glad to have you back again. If you haven't heard episode one, go check it out.
Yes, check us out. And to my right, I have Fred.
What's going on, everyone?
Well, we're here again to talk comics. As we say at the top of all our podcasts, we like to remind you that we are proud members of the Nation of Nerds. Our goal is to entertain, educate, and introduce you to some new books that you might want to give a try. So let's kick this show off right away with some news. We have a couple of comic book stories that we found interesting. Today, there were some teases by Marvel. Marvel's such a tease. That maybe the original Defenders are coming back. First, we had a Hulk tease, and then we had a Namor tease. So Fred, what do you think of this?
Well, I'm really excited about this, especially because the Namor tease if X-Men Red is ending, then I want to continue to see him in other books. I'm also intrigued because isn't, like, Silver Surfer supposed to be in this book, too?
Hopefully. They're assuming. Okay. So they're assuming that hopefully it'll be Silver Surfer and Doctor Strange, who are original members of the Defenders. Yeah.
So I'm definitely excited. I heard that it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be maybe a mini-series or... not an ongoing.
That would be smart to test it out. Yeah. And Chris, what do you think?
I'm excited. Like Fred, mostly for Namor. Namor is in my maybe top five list of favorite characters in comic books. He's really cool. I'm not all too familiar with the original Defenders team. I haven't read too many comics with them. You know, my big introduction with the whole Defenders name was with, you know, the Netflix show,
yeah,
which I'm sure a lot of people have watched. But I did know, you know, that that wasn't the original team. So I'm glad to see, you know, a new dynamic and a new team coming back into comics. You can't have enough of team books.
Oh, yeah. And see, it was the same kind of concept. They were kind of an anti-team. They don't really want to be a team. So they're not the Avengers, you know. Even though they're a group of heroes that are together to do things, they don't have meetings and they're not a true team with a leader. That's why you have someone like Hulk, for example. I'm excited to see Silver Surfer back in comics. That would be the big one for me. So that'd be a lot of fun. Anything that brings him back into the mix, I'm all for. So, okay, and our second story today is kind of a big story that we've all been hoping for, hinting at, talking about, wanting to happen, and it looks like it's finally happening. Batman and the Outsiders. Now, the release is still unknown, but Brian Edward Hill and Dexter Soy are doing an Outsiders book. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm excited. When I saw the promotion with who's going to be in it, so it's like Katana and Black Lightning, and I think Duke is there, and I'm just like, and Cassandra, I think, is there too, and so I'm excited. This was kind of being teased during Brian Edwards Hill's Detective Comics run, right? They brought Black Lightning back, and they kind of teased that this was going to be a thing, so I'm glad that it's definitely official, and I'm glad that Black Lightning is going to be, you know, in the forefront of a comic book. It's been a long time coming.
Definitely, definitely. Fred?
Man, I'm totally excited about this, especially because Brian Edward Hill is writing it. I mean, the guy knows his Batman, and the voices that he's given, like, this Bat family is great. I mean, I'm just glad this is a way to extend this run from Detective through this book.
Yeah, that's basically how I look at it. It's like we still get his detective a little bit. Maybe there won't be as much of Batman, but I'm sure Batman will show up and you still get the other characters and we know the voice he's going to give them because we've seen it. Yeah, I'm really excited for this. It's good to see Black Lightning out front. I don't know if you guys have read the issue that came out this Wednesday of Detective. It sets it up really nice. It has a nice little scene that if you haven't read it, I'm just not going to say it yet. But there's a cool little scene with another superhero who puts in their input, what they think of this Outsiders team, which is kind of fun. Nice. Yeah.
So that kind of sounds like – because I think the origins of the Outsiders is Batman left the Justice League, right, to create, and it was all type – and people with the Justice League didn't like it.
Yeah.
That he kind of quit and made his own team. So I wonder, I'm going to read that. Now I'm excited.
Yeah. Someone else weighs in. Fred, have you read it yet, perchance, or am I the only one?
No, but I think I know who you're hinting at because I've read the Jason Todd book and a couple others that, you know, I'm hoping I'm guessing right, but I might be wrong.
One of you's right and one of you isn't, and I'll just leave it there. Awesome. Okay, and I have one last story. It's kind of a follow-up of last week's news story. One of our big news stories was Uncanny X-Men, and I just wanted to throw this out there. $8, who's buying it?
Listen, I'm buying it. You know, they kind of been having a few of those $8 books, and the prices have kind of been rising. But, you know, I don't think each book, as long as each book isn't, you know, this oversized $8 book, I don't mind. The first one I'll get.
All right. And Fred?
I'm getting it, but it's going to be at a discounted price through DCBS. So it saves me plenty of money so I can continue to buy tons of Alterna.
There you go. Yeah, I'm going to look DCBS too. I'm kind of in this. I had a little protest this week. I left 4 of those $5 books on the shelf. I was like, really? That's $20 for 4 comics. There was one DC and there was 3 Marvel. And I'm like, you guys need to knock this off. Okay, you're charging too much for a book. But all right, that's enough ranting about that stuff. Okay, so let's get on to our comics. As you know, if you're new to our show and you don't know, we like to spotlight creator-owned books, independent labels, small publishers, and do-it-yourself comics. So these are the books that aren't normally available through DC or Marvel. We love DC and Marvel, but we like to try some different things, get away from the capes, do a little horror, something more adult, mature, just something different. And so we're going to focus on our 6 books this week that we felt had the most impact and were the most interesting. Since we talked about Brian Edward Hill, we're going to go ahead and segue into one of his books this week, Aphrodite 5, number 2. Los Angeles has a new hero in Aphrodite, but a villain from Martin's past threatens the city. Martin may not trust an android, but he's going to need one. Written by Brian Edward Hill, art and cover by Jeff Spokes, letters by Troy Piteri, published by Top Cow / Image. This is Aphrodite 5. Chris, what'd you think of Aphrodite 5?
Okay, so we've spoken about the first issue before as a group. And I remember my thoughts of issue 1 being that it was a little bit too slow, but that it had a good premise and that I was hoping it would pick up. And man, does issue 2 pick up. This was a blast read. And it really made me see why Fred is so hot on Brian Edward Hill, like why he really likes this guy. This dude could write. And he answers a lot of questions while also presenting a lot of questions in this issue. But it really hit the spot for me as a sci-fi book. There's a lot of sci-fi things going on, a lot of themes about, you know, just like the first one about consciousness and AI and things of that nature in mankind. So this was really good. Great action scene, really cool dialogue, like really cool. Like Aphrodite as a character, in the first issue I wasn't so sure about her. I'm like, I wonder if she's just gonna be like, you know, the kind of cliche android, you know, kind of character. But no, she has some layers. And her lines, her dialogue is really cool. There's a moment in the middle of the book that I won't spoil you if you're going to read the book. Pretty much it's an action scene and you just, She has some great lines during that scene. It was a good book. I really enjoyed it.
Very good. And Fred, what'd you think of Aphrodite 5?
Well, I'm just going to echo what Chris said. It was extremely well written. I felt like the dialogue moved the story along quickly, but there's some really intense action scenes. But not just to speak about Brian Edward Hill, the art in this with, who is it?
Jeff Spokes.
Jeff Spokes. The way that it's like colored and whatnot, like in the green, kind of gives like the night vision goggle feel to it, which I think adds to the character and helps move this along. But I think Chris mainly spoke a lot about, you know, the Brian Edward Hill thing, that I can't say anything else. He spoke for me.
Very cool. Yes, this book is really good. We talked about the first one early on when we were doing one of our trial episodes, and we were a little concerned that it didn't quite, you know, tie it all together, but we liked where it was going, and pow, like you said, this one got there. This one still kept a lot of those political undertones that we enjoyed. The action kicked. You know, we know what's going on. We have a defined villain for the most part. There's still some mystery, but we have a nice defined villain. The action sequences, the way they were drawn, were just exciting to read. You know, it kept the thing moving in. And I like the point about the green. I hadn't thought about that. It does give it like a Spec Ops kind of Call of Duty kind of feel that makes it exciting and interesting. Yeah, a really good book.
Yeah, and to speak on your point about the villain, just the explanation of the villain and where he comes from and kind of his origin and his relation to the characters in the book were very interesting. I've never seen like that kind of idea before. So that was really cool. And I really wanted to see this story through. I want to know where this goes, you know?
Definitely, definitely. So if we were going to give some scores on this book, I'll go ahead and hit you first, Fred. What would you give this book?
Well, first I would like to say that if you're looking for an action-packed political thriller, then this book is for you. I give it 3.5.
Very good. Nice, solid score. And Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed this the whole way through. Like I said, it fleshed out a lot of ideas. It made me want more. I'd give it a 4.
Excellent. High score. I'd go about a 3.5 also. I really liked it a lot. It wasn't my favorite book of the week. There was a few better, but it's such a good book. And I think this series is going to end up being one we're going to talk about for a long time. So yeah, Brian Edward Hill with another hit. Big shocker there. All right. Our number two book of the day is Cold Spots Number 1, a psychological thriller, The Undead and a supernatural bitter cold come together in a spine-tingling new series from Colin Bunn and Mark Torres. 10 years ago, Dan Kerr turned his back on his wife and unborn daughter. Now both mother and child have gone missing, and Dan must face cosmic terrors to find them again. He soon finds that ghosts stir within his estranged daughter is near, or when his estranged daughter is near, and as the dead grow relentless, the cold deepens. Written by Cullen Bunn, art and design by Mark Torres, letters by Simon Boland, published by Image. This is Cold Spots. Okay, Fred, what do you think of Cold Spots?
Okay, if you ever walked into like an old house or like a factory or a store or something, you just walk in and you get those chills. That's the feeling that this book gave me. I think like Cullen Bunn, he sets up this issue. It's an awesome supernatural horror story. The way that he has laid out this book has me very interested. It kind of feels like that old TV show. I don't know, like Chris, you might not have seen this, but Unsolved Mysteries meets like Ghost Hunters. Like, it's got that eerie kind of feeling. And speaking of eerie, like, the art in this book is great. Like, there's panels that they show, like, how would you say, like, premonitions or, like, ghosts?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That gives, like, that adds that to the eerie feeling of what's happening in those panels. I mean, I really like this book.
Excellent. Very good. And Chris, what'd you think of Cold Spots?
I really liked it. I'm starting to get a sense of Cullen Bunn as a writer. I know we talked about his other book before, Bone Parish, and some of the other books that he's written. I'm really liking this book. I'm all for the whole like cosmic terror, H.P. Lovecraft type stuff that he kind of writes about. The beginning and end, especially for me, were very powerful. I thought that the middle of the book could have been a little better. I was kind of bored in the middle. But I know that, you know, he's just setting up the story, so I kind of forgive it. Like, I won't punish the book for that, because you kind of have to set up the story. I felt like some things could have happened in the middle to kind of make me more interested in this issue. But the first and last, the beginning and end of the book, really got me. It has some scenes there that's just kind of like, whoa. It's an interesting book.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, I also liked it very much. I'm not a huge horror fan, so what I liked about this book is it's also a mystery. So if you have a mystery, you're going to snag me, and I can kind of work my way through being a chicken and seeing these scary parts. But I want to know. I want to know what the story is with the daughter and his ex-wife. I want to know what the relationship that turned bad between the father-in-law and the husband, and all these things that are kind of, that have been thrown at us, all these little pieces. I can't wait to see how it all falls together. And then mix that in with, like you said, the premonitions, the spirits, whatever they may be, the way they're drawn is scary. And then that last scene was like, ah. So yeah, he has another hit on his hands. He's just churning out great work right now. And we're lucky to, you know, get one, it seems like, every week. We're spoiled. What do you think, Fred? He's your guy.
Yeah, I mean, as long as his name's on it, I'm buying it. So I'm that guy. Man, this book, like, it might not be as good as Bone Parish, but it's up there, man. It's up there.
Yeah, I was going to throw that out there. If you were going to compare the two, they're both number ones. They have their debuts. Which one kind of... just for fun, which one was the one that was the real home run and which one was just very good?
I would definitely say like Bone Parish is better because of the drug and the things that, you know, are added into the story. Mm-hmm. This is just straight ghost. The other one's like, man, it's got a lot going on.
Yeah. Chris?
Yeah, I mean... Bone Parish, that's really hard to compare to, because that's good. But this is good too. I think this first issue, I feel like this is going to be one of those books that if you stick with it, you'll be very rewarded. You know, Bone Parish had all types of twists and turns in the first issue that you're just like, wait, what? This is crazy. I feel like this one has a story to tell, and it's going to take a little while to get it going. But I'm going to stay, and I'm going to keep reading this book, because I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah, definitely worth their investment. I like books like that. So Chris, if you're going to score it, what would you give it?
This first issue, I'd give it a 3. Just because, like I said, the beginning and end, it had its great moments. It was like, it really captured me. But the middle was a lot of talking and explaining and things like that, which I thought was a little bit boring. But I understand why it has to be there.
Gotcha. And Fred?
I give it a 4. I really dig this book. I like the concept, and I can't wait to see where that last panel leads us into the next book. I'm looking forward to it.
Very good. Yeah, I'm going to go with another 3.5, another solid score for me, a book I really enjoyed. Like I said, in the middle, there's a little to work with. But yeah, I'm back. I will definitely be back. I've already ordered the next one. So yeah, Cullen Bunn with another winner. That's 2 for 2. We have Hill, and then we have Bunn. Two great writers that are just nailing it. And their artists, credit to their artists, are doing some great work as well. All right, book number 3. Beasts of Burden, Wise Dogs and Eldritch Men number 1. A heroic pack of canines known as the Wise Dogs set off on a mission to clean up a Pennsylvania corridor plagued with seemingly unrelated occult disturbances. That include a fire salamander and a horde of mutant lurkers. A link is found among the various disturbances, leading our heroes to a mountain village inhabited by a survivalist witch cult who have discovered the existence of a blood lure attracting occult forces, creatures, and many more terrors to Burden Hill. Boy, that was a mouthful. Written by Evan Dorkin. Art and cover by Benjamin Dewey. Letters by Nate Pirkos. Variant cover by Raphael Albuquerque. Published by Dark Horse. This is the Beast of Burden, Wise Dogs, and Eldritch Men. Okay, first of all, I have to admit that I did not realize that this is a series that has been around for a long time. And there are many comics of it. I saw the number one. To me, it was something new. And I just thought it was something new. So I jumped into it with that kind of approach when I read it. So my early critique will be based on me knowing nothing and me wondering, wow, there's a lot going on. And I feel like no one's really introducing me to these dogs that are the stars of this book. And so I was a little lost, even though I liked it. I enjoyed it. I felt like, wow, I would have liked a little more about these dogs before we jumped right into it, because it jumps right into it. They jump right into the adventure and they go full throttle and the story is off and kicking. Now that I know there's more, and it's part my fault that I probably should have read some backstory on these dogs before I jumped in, I'm very intrigued to go back and read the rest, because the book gave me a feel of Watership Down or something like that, because I'm already attached to some of these dogs as an animal lover, and I'm worried about one that might die, which would really depress me. And I'm in for this. And the magic is another thing. We talked about this last week. I do enjoy the magic, and I like that it's some simplified magic, and I understand where it's going to go. So for me, great book. The painting style pops for me. I enjoy that very much, and I recommend it. Fred, what do you think of Beasts of Burden?
Just like you, I didn't know anything about this book, so this was my first attempt too. I liked the interactions between the dogs. I found it funny, at times comical. Just the way that their personality showed through the dialogue was great to get to know them. Also the art, just like you mentioned, the painting style, man, that stuff looks really good. Like, that's something like you would find at your doctor's office walls or something, you know, like how it's painted. It seems like a lot of work for a book like this, but it really helps it. Let's see, like, just the whole book having the feeling of, you know, the balance of magic and supernatural in it was okay for me, especially for me being the guy that doesn't like magic on the podcast. It was okay. That part didn't bother me so much, but I mean, just the dogs kind of made it a little bit more fun and exciting to me. So that actually helped win me over. Chris, what did you think?
I'm going to echo you guys. I didn't know about this series. So it took me a little bit of research and rereading to really understand what was going on. But first, I want to start off by saying that the art was amazing. It's my understanding that this is a new artist on this series. So I think Jill Thompson is the person who does the art for this series and has been doing it for the past few years. So this is the first time that a new artist has stepped in to do it. And may I say that, you know, he did an amazing job. This is a really good looking book. First off, secondly, it's interesting. I don't think I've ever read a book about dogs doing magic before. So, that caught my eye. Like Fred said, they each have their own personalities. The dialogue is really good. And on top of that, as a standalone story, because I've never read any of the other ones, I'm interested in what's going to happen next. The story was able to grab me and make me wonder, okay, what's going to happen? You know, it made me ask questions, and it made me want to pick up issue number two. So, you know, that's what's important. So I liked it.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, I mean, it was a good book. It was entertaining. It definitely has a young adult feel. The art style does make you think of a children's book, perhaps, that you would see the illustrations in that. For me, I just wanted a little more. Like, I was really intrigued by these different personalities, and I wanted more about the dogs. That was my big one. So, Fred, do you have anything else, or are you ready to give us a score on that? Or
I'll just add one more thing before I give a score. I mean, if you're looking for a book that's going to be fun, like, if magic is your thing and you like dogs, this is your book. Because they battle. What were those things, like trolls or something?
Yeah,
I mean,
they got serious. They're all lurkers, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that right there, I'm like, where is this book going? So, like, it's kind of like Dogs in a Dungeon and Dragon World. So I was definitely, if this is a book for you, if you like that stuff, I mean, more power to you. I'm going to check it out still, because it interests me that much. And for a guy that doesn't like magic, that's saying a lot. So, I'll give my score 3.5. I liked it. Evan Dorkin. I've never read a book by Evan Dorkin, but I'm going to start checking out some of his books now after reading this one.
Very cool. And Chris, what would you give it?
Yeah, I'd echo that. I give it 3.5. Like I said, it caught me. You know, the story made me wonder what's going to happen next. I'm interested, and I'll be reading the series. So 3.5.
Very good. I'm going to give it a 3.5 as well. I am going to go back and look for the older books so I can have a better background. I am still concerned about a dog dying. That's going to break me.
Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah. I mean, there was a panel about, it was a dream. It was a premonition or an omen. And yeah. It showed a dog that, and I was like, no, I don't want to see that stuff.
Turn the page, man. Nobody wants that.
Yeah. So that's my only concern. But yeah, I'm definitely going to keep going. So 3.5 for me as well. Evan Dorkin and Benjamin Dewey is a new artist. Interesting. See, I didn't know that. All right. The next book on the list is Shanghai Red number 3. With two of the men who abducted her carved off her list, Red's hands are bloody again as she looks to take out the rest of the names responsible. But when she's detoured into the heart of Portland's corruption and comes face to face with her sister, Red will face some ugly truths about how far from home she really is and how much longer her list needs to be. Written by Christopher Sabella. Art and cover by Joshua Hinson. Letters by Hassan Otaman Elahu. Variant cover by Tess Fowler and Marisa Louise. Logo by Dylan Todd. Editorial assistance by Andrea Shockling. Published by Image. This is Shanghai Red. Chris, what are your thoughts on Shanghai Red?
Okay, so this was, once again, a book that had an amazing art style. I love the art and the pencils, the inking, the drawing. The colors. I love this book as far as the art goes. The themes are very heavy in this book. This is kind of dark, you know, as far as the plot goes. It's interesting because this was my first introduction to the book, so I didn't read the first two issues, but it had a great recap page, and I felt like I was able to catch on to what the story wanted to tell me, which shows me that it's very focused. And on that note, I really liked it. Like I said, it's a little bit dark, so if dark isn't really your thing, if you don't really like, you know, no blood and things like that, this may not be the book for you because it's kind of violent, but it is good. And it has heavy themes like kidnapping and human trafficking and things of that nature, which I thought were interesting. But it's good.
Very good. And Fred, what do you think of Shanghai Red?
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the first issue, wasn't Molly's name Jack, then Red?
Yes.
Okay, so now, with each issue, each book, it seems like Molly is a different person, and it's portrayed in each book.
Yeah.
Like, when she's Red, when she's Jack. And that's great writing style to me by Sabella. Like, to me, like, he invests you into Jack the character, Red the character. In this issue, he kind of invests you into Molly the character, which was kind of different for me. I really enjoyed, like, how he has me invested into each and every character in this book, actually. But to echo Chris's remarks about, like, the art, I really enjoy, like, when she goes into rage mode and they have that black and red, you know, like, the coloring in it. It kind of adds to that. And that adds to the intensity. I really like that when that happens. I felt like in the middle of this book, it kind of slowed down, which is kind of different for the previous two issues. But it still was good. I mean, this is a great revenge thriller. So if that's what you're looking for, you got to get on this.
Yeah. Well, I'll echo some of the stuff is that it's a very brutal book. It doesn't pull any punches. The fights, the altercations that happen are bloody. They're powerful. And you feel like the pain of the hits or the kicks or whatever's happening, or even sometimes a stabbing. And this book fooled me because going back to issue one, I thought it was going to be about pirates. And it's a Western. It's a revenge story that's set more in the West. And as Fred said, the writing of these, giving us these three versions of the main character, really is so well done because you have someone who's been basically abused. And because of their abuse, they've compartmentalized their different stages into three personalities almost. Molly is who she is. Red is her nickname that her family kind of calls her. And then Jack is the persona she undertook to survive in a world that is male dominated. And then eventually, you know, to survive on the pirate ship in the first issue. It is an intense read. The colors, as you said, invoke so much emotion with that red color when she's in any type of violent act. There's a sense of horror. The way this book ended, this issue, definitely was very horror-filled. I really enjoyed this book, though. It's speaking to, I guess, the dark part of me or something. But it's not a book I would necessarily reread, but I can't wait to read the next issue. Do you understand what I mean? But yeah, it's a pretty intense book. Christy,
this is kind of, you know what this reminded me of? This book kind of reminded me of like a even more twisted version of Kill Bill. So it's got that revenge plot. And like you guys said, the main character, she's like three different people. She's damaged, right? And in this one, you kind of see that damage through the lens of someone who has known her. So her sister, I won't spoil their conversation. So you see how much she's damaged through the lens of her sister, someone who's known her since she was younger. And you just get a sense of like what's going down. And I think she even has this interaction. I don't want to ruin it, but man, this has some moments, right? Like she has this interaction with that old dude and he's just like, oh no, she's a lost cause, right? Like he just knows by looking at her. Just let her go. You know, she's done. So it's like, this one had some layers. You know, this was a good story. I suggest you check it out if you're listening.
Definitely. I mean, it's not a feel-good story. I mean, it may get there at the end, but it's not there right now, Fred.
I mean, I just would end it with saying, like, this is the best vengeance story in comics right now. I mean, I can't think of anything else better than this right now if you're looking for that type of book.
Yeah, it's definitely brutal. You're going to feel it. You're going to feel her pain, and you're going to feel her wrath as she checks off the list, as the solicit said. If you're giving it a score, Chris, what would you go with?
I would go with another 4. The art style alone is worth a 4. But to go along with that, the dialogue, the story moves along. There are good moments in this book. 4.
Very good. And Fred, what do you think?
I'll echo that score. I would also give it a 4. I'm really getting into, like, Sabella's writing recently. So, like, man, everything this guy is writing right now is good. So, jump on this.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to go big. I'm going 4.5. Like I said, this book was really good. I'm not so sure I'd read it again, as I told you, because when a book is that dark, sometimes you can't go for a double dip. But, wow, that was one of those books that I read, and then I had to take a break. I didn't continue after that to just kind of process everything I read. Incredibly good books. You said Sabella is on a roll right now. Another great writer that's on a roll in these indie creator-owned books that are just dropping books at multiple publishers or in multiple stories, and they're just hitting home runs all over the place. Very cool. All right, our next book is Black Hammer, Age of Doom, number 4. All is revealed when Lucy makes her way back to the farm from Dreamland, confronting the mastermind of their current situation. The revelations here will alter the fate of the Black Hammer family forever. It's written by Jeff Lemire, art by Dean Ormston, colorist Dave Stewart, letters by Todd Klein, variant cover by James Herron, published by Dark Horse. This is Black Hammer, Age of Doom. Fred, your thoughts on Black Hammer?
All right, I've been waiting for this. Okay, the Black Hammer universe, if you haven't read anything, is probably the greatest creator-owned universe you can read today. Hands down. Put my name on it, put my stamp on it. That's how I feel. This is totally definitely for people that are totally invested into this universe, this book is, this issue. We get a lot of questions answered, but we also get some added uncertainty in some parts of this book that could possibly move the story along further. One thing I do like about the Black Hammer books, including this one, is Lemire, throughout each book, he focuses on each character and kind of gives you, like, their story, and he wraps it all together like a soap opera. It's so good. Like, the way that he writes, I mean, I'm a total fanboy, so I'm going to be biased right now. But this book also had, like, a few laugh-out-loud moments with, like, Abe, but the part that I truly enjoyed about this book was, like, the intensity of the book and the anger from Gale. I really enjoyed that because that's exactly how I felt reading this book was like, oh, man, what the hell? And she laid it out. She wasn't taking anything.
Yeah, definitely. So this is one of the books that's been around for a while that I had read the first trade on Comicsology a while back. It was available for free and I read it. And I wanted more and I was waiting for a sale. And this is one that Fred brought to the table that we should read. So I put the time in and I read the next, you know, half of it. And then I read the side books that it has to get caught up. And then three books to get to this book, or two books, excuse me. No, three actually, to get to this book. So I binged it. I binged it over about a week. So to watch the climb, and to get this climax story kind of on at the end that kind of answered everything that was building in me, I can just imagine the people that have been waiting for these answers for a year now or more to know. It was shocking. It was one of the best books I read this week. There's no doubt about it. It really gave you the answers to the mystery that's been going on in this great story. It's a story about superheroes told through a different lens. And there is a mystery, and you're trying to figure out the mystery. I'm trying not to give away too much of this great story because you should read it. Maybe not better than Invincible Fred, but definitely one of the best creator-owned universes. I can't say what's the word I'm looking for. I was just so impressed with his handling on all of these characters, because sometimes you get issues that focus on one character that slowed it down for me as I was reading it. But then the payoff later, when you've had this nice foundation of who these characters are, when they finally have these interacting moments, the art, outstanding. It's different. It gives it its own feel, as you said, its own universe. In this issue particularly, the betrayal is just outstanding, mixed with the issue that preceded it, which we had a death. It really resonated with me. And like I said, it's one of the best books I read, and I'm so foolish for have not been reading this before. And yeah, I just had such a good time with it. And Chris, I do recommend you looking into it, because I knew nothing really about it either. And it's a winner.
Yeah, for sure. This sounds really good. It's something that I've actually heard about, you know, throughout the years, that I just didn't get a chance to check on it. So I'm going to check it out on you guys' recommendation. Please don't start that the Invincible versus Black Hammer stuff, because the Invincible fan base is pretty big out there, Fred. So you signed that. You're going to have to defend that on Twitter.
Hashtag Black Hammer. Yeah. Put my name on it. You can at me. Hashtag Team Black Hammer.
Yeah, stand by your comic, man. There's nothing wrong with that. No, this is a really good universe. Invincible might be the greatest creator-owned book ever created, but but awesome. So, Fred, if you were going to score, first of all, do you have anything else to
No, not really. I mean, not necessarily. I would just say that this book kind of leads me to believe that there's going to be some really good books coming out in the future months, especially how this one ended. But we can go into scores. I'll start it off by saying I'll give this 4.5. It was really good. I thought it was great, actually. So what about you, Andrew?
Yes, I would give it a 4.5 as well. I read a great interview with Lemire going to do this show, and this is the story he's always wanted to write. This is what he couldn't do maybe when he was working at DC, working at Marvel. When you have editors, you have things, you have to stick within continuity. Characters and universes are created that you have to stick in. You know, you only get so much leeway, and this is his blow up moment. You know, he went and did exactly what he wanted, and he talks very interesting about that. Possibly he could have not done this anywhere but Dark Horse, because Dark Horse is where Mike Mignola has created his Hellboy universe in the same way. So there was a pattern set, and so Dark Horse was willing to allow him to do the same thing. And it sounds like he's just going to keep writing little off stories forever until he runs out of off stories to write. You know, besides the main saga, he's going to write little side stories. So this isn't going away. This is going to be around for a long time. So I don't know if I give my score. I'm going to 4.5. Yes. All right. So the next book is also from Jeff Lemire. The critically acclaimed multi-generational saga of the Pike family comes to a conclusion as the ghosts of the past catch up to them and point the Pike family toward an unexpected future. A 2018 Eisner Award nominee for Best New Series and Best Writer, Royal Cities. Written and illustrated by Jeff Lemire. Letters by Steve Wands. Cover A by Jeff Lemire. Cover B by Emmy Lennox. Cover C by Will Dennis. Edited by Will Dennis. Published by Image. This is Royal City. So we had two creator-owned books by Jeff Lemire this week. And this one comes across to me like a more personal story, where Black Hammer is the fantastical superhero stories I always wanted to tell. This seems to be the story of Jeff Lemire, the man, the writer. And it's incorporated into a family that's a bit dysfunctional that is dealing with a tragedy that happened to them. And all these years later, they're still suffering and still hurting. And It's affecting their ability to be happy and be successful in life. And this was the conclusion of that. This was the happy bow that wrapped it up and gave us a satisfying ending to this story. For the most part, everything ended on a happy note. It wasn't perfect, like real life isn't perfect, but you felt good when it was all said and done. I really enjoyed the book. I really enjoyed the art. I mean, it just goes to show what a great artist he is as well. It fit the story very well. Just a great book that I could recommend highly. Fred?
Yeah, I have a lot of the same feelings as you. I also like the feeling that this book kind of gives you like a 90s feel, maybe, because he references a lot of like alternative music during that time. He has soundtracks, playlists, what have you, for to read when or to listen to while you read. Like the art, man, his art is great, but I also like the watercolors that are used, like helps give that feel of like grunge that goes with that music as well. I enjoyed, like, especially at the end, like his letter. It was like a perfect send off to the book. It added to the book perfectly. It told its story. But I really feel like he had something deeper issue with this, book. And I feel like, something to take away with it is that his meaning may be to live life open instead of hiding from the truth. Because that's the feeling I got with this book, like the deeper issue. Like, Jeff Lemire's deep, and I mean, I enjoy his books. That's just what I got from the book. I loved it just as much as you did.
Yeah, it really felt like he was talking about Jeff Lemire, the man who is now. Where I haven't read Essex County yet, but people tell me that's more of like a look back of how possibly he grew up, because I guess he's from that area. Where this one, it really did feel like, I mean, the main character is a writer that has writer's block in essence, and how he goes back home because there's a tragedy, and that tragedy forces the whole family to take a hard look at their lives and the mistakes they made. It very personal. It goes like a movie. If you've ever seen a movie about families that are kind of dysfunctional, they make lots of them. Excellent book. 13 issues, I believe, or 14 issues?
14. But I would want to add to this is like each family member also pictured the brother of the family in different stages of his life that they wanted to remember him like that. So that kind of added, and, you know, we saw the picture of what happened to each version of the brother. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's where I was like, whoa, this is deep.
Yeah, very deep. And the twist of the daughter and the whole, yeah, there's just a lot going on in this book. It was really well done, really well written. Another one, Chris, I would recommend. I think this could end up being just one trade. I don't know. Has there been a first trade of this?
I have two on the shelf behind me, and this would be the third one. So three trades.
So three trades. Okay. Yeah, but definitely recommend it very highly.
Those are always kind of the best stories where you get the writer kind of pouring his heart, you know, telling his story in comic book form. That sounds interesting. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, it's very relatable. I mean, the idea of a family that's going through something, that's relatable to all of us, you know, regardless of, mm-hmm. you know, how you were brought up or your ethnicity or your social status, wherever, you know, you can relate to a family. And yeah, it's a great book. If I'm going to give my score, I would give it a big old 5. That's how much I like this book. It was the perfect send-off to a really great story. That's me. Big old 5. My first 5 of the year. Fred?
I'm not passing out 5s yet, but I'll give him a 4.5. I'm still waiting to set my bar at 5. I'm waiting for that perfect book.
There you go. I guess this one, maybe I took it a little on a personal side. It was just, yeah, no, so well done.
No, it's totally understandable. I mean, it's a great book, and it's got a lot of emotion poured into it. So I definitely say check it out. But since we're speaking of Jeff Lemire, two books in a row, let's spotlight Jeff Lemire this week for our Creator of the Week. Didn't he have like 5 books come out this week?
Yeah, 5 books by 5 different publishers. Oh, you want to talk about a man working hard. He had the Terrifics for DC. He had the Century for Marvel. And then he's doing a guest arc on Mark Millar, last week's Spotlight candidate. Hit Girl. So he's in the middle of doing a 4-story arc on Hit Girl. So yeah, he had 5 books.
Yeah, and he's killing it.
I mean, you said he was on Century, right? He's writing Century?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let me tell you guys, I don't like Century as that much as a character, but that book is actually pretty decent. I like it.
Wow, so, I haven't read that. I'm going to have to check that out.
I've always thought Century was, even though his powers were, you know, Superman-esque and stuff like that, I've never really liked him as a character. But this his Century is pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely would jump on that because I think he's only going to be on the first 5 issues, then they're going to switch writers. So, I mean, it's only 5 issues if you're buying it.
Well, that's how he is. He has to keep moving. He has so many books to write. Do you have some more facts for us about Jeff Lemire?
Yeah, I have tons of stuff. He was born on March 21st, 1976. He's a Canadian cartoonist that lives in Toronto. He's also an author, like we've learned today. Some of my favorite books of his are like Essex County, Sweet Tooth, Animal Man, Plutonia. I can just look at the shelves right now. What else? Lost Dogs, Royal City, Gideon Falls, AD, After Death, he wrote with Scott Snyder, Roughneck, Trillium, Beowulf, Bloodshot, the only time I'll read Bloodshot, Descender. Then he has a bunch of Marvel and DC, but what do you have, Andrew?
Well, on DC, one that caught my eye, besides the Green Arrow run, which he was really popular with, is he did a Frankenstein book. And the Frankenstein book kind of led to him getting involved with Justice League Dark. So he had a nice run on Justice League Dark. Then in Marvel, Moon Knight was a favorite of mine that he did. I think it was 2 series ago, maybe, that he did the Moon Knight series of his, and I think it's only maybe 15 issues or 16 issues. I can't remember. It's been a while. But that was really tripped out, and I enjoyed that. Bloodshot, you know I'm a Valiant guy. He and Matt Kent are the foundation of Valiant, in my opinion. What they went in and did with Bloodshot and Manowar is what's made Valiant what it is right now. And he just wrapped that up. Talk about a busy man. Last week he had that book. He's amazing. He's a busy guy. And in the same interview, the interview was from Multiversity Comics. So I'm going to put a link to it in our comments area so people can check it out. But it was a great interview. The one thing everyone asked him is how he gets out all these books because he's always busy. And he says it's just about being disciplined and that he truly only writes 1 book a week. He doesn't overdo it. Where he puts most of his effort in is the books he's drawing. He'll put in his 8 hours every day drawing Monday through Friday. And so he does his writing in the evenings and the weekend. But the writing goes pretty quickly for him. And it could be because the interview asked him is because he's an artist himself. And being an artist, he's willing to trust other artists. So he gets his scripts out pretty quickly. And gets them and lets the artist do what the artist needs to do. So, but yeah, he hardest working guy.
Yeah, those kind of things take discipline. As far as what I know about him, I did read his Moon Knight run. I think it was a while back though that he was writing Moon Knight. I don't think like maybe a couple of years ago. I think he also had Hawkeye that I read.
Yes,
that one was really good. It was my first introduction really to reading a Hawkeye comic book. He kind of has this knack for taking characters I don't find interesting and making them interesting, I guess, because I never found Hawkeye really to be too interesting, or Sentry. So he's good at that. Yeah, but like you said, man, all those books he's working on, it's really, truly inspiring. It takes a special kind of person to be able to do all of those projects. So I'm glad he's our creative spotlight of the week. He definitely deserves it. Yeah, I want to see that interview too. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, I'll make sure I put the link. It's great because there's so much in there, and he really talks and talks about a lot of great things.
Did you guys mention like his run on Thanos before Donny Cates?
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah,
I like that run. I mean, it kind of set Cates up to do his thing after, and I also like the Inhumans versus X-Men. That was really good too.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he did that, and his run on Green Arrow was pretty good, too. I mean, everything he touches is money.
Yeah, have you read the new 52 Futures End? It's kind of like an Elseworld.
Yes.
He wrote it with Juergens and Zerolo.
Yep.
Is that how you say it? Okay, this is the Italian, Fred. You got to help me. Azzarello, I believe.
Brian Azzarello.
And it's a really good Elseworld story. And yeah, everything he touches, like you said, there's very few things that I don't like right. that he does.
I want to add, since we're talking about him, that he did win a few awards. He won the Zurich Award in 2005 for his book Lost Dogs. He also won the Young Adult Library Service Association Alex Award. Man, that's a lot. For Essex County. He won the Joe Shuster Canadian Comic Book Creator Award for Outstanding Cartoonist in 2008, the Doug Wright Award for Best Emerging Talent in 2008, the Joe Shuster Award for Outstanding Cartoonist for Sweet Tooth and Underwater Wilder, and the Eisner Award Best New Series 2017 Black Hammer.
And to go back to, I think, Andrew, you just mentioned the new 52, the Futures End storyline. Yeah, I did read that. It had some good Booster Gold moments, that book.
Yeah.
That was the book that was a while ago. Mm-hmm. That was the book that kind of turned me on to Booster Gold. Because I remembered him from way back, like Justice League Unlimited. And then I couldn't find any comics with him, really. And I remember him being in that, and I thought that was cool, too. I remember that book. It was good, man. This guy's got some good stuff in the tank.
He also did some writing for the Justice League Dark cartoon or the animated movie. So he was involved with that too. Yeah, he's a busy guy. So we'll see. He says he has the letter at the end of Royal City says he has a new project coming out soon. So we'll see what he's doing next. Yeah. All right. Well, that kind of wraps up our creator-owned Jeff Lemire for this week. So now we're going to just throw it out there for our discussion about what you were reading this week. Anything that was a new comic for new comic book day, or something you went back and read, or like I did, go binging Black Hammer. Things that you want to share that you read. So, Chris, I'll let you go first. What did you get into this week?
Okay. Outside of the review books, I didn't get to read too much yet, but I made sure to get around to X-Men Red. And I got around to X-Men Red, and also I read some Injustice 2. So that was Tom Taylor, which Injustice 2 actually, I think, just ended. And I don't know how far X-Men Red is going, but it makes me sad. You know, I'm reading all this Tom Taylor. I'm really loving it. And, you know, he keeps teasing on Twitter that he has stuff coming. I don't know what it is. It's making me upset because I want to know. I've commented on all of his posts already. He won't respond anymore. I asked him if it was a Gabby solo. He kind of retweeted it and spoke to some and tagged some of the editors of Marvel in it. I don't know where that's going, but besides that, he won't respond to any of my questions on what he's doing next. So, yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing, bothering Tom Taylor.
There you go. I got a question for you. Fred and I kind of discussed this before. Did Red feel almost like it was a last issue? Like it came across like it was over almost with that speech?
Yeah, it seems like it's ending. But the thing is, when it started, I thought like, okay, this is going to be a run that, you know, we're going to get and it's going to go for a while. And it doesn't seem that way, you know, and I know Uncanny is coming and, you know, there's probably some big things planned for X-Men. I just really, really hope Tom Taylor is a part of that because I don't know, man, it would really suck if he's not writing any Marvel comics. And he's also done over at DC because Injustice 2,
yeah,
that was the last issue. He's been writing that since the Injustice video game first came out in like 2015. So he's been writing this for a few years now, and he's done some really good things with that universe. So, you know, it's on to new projects, and I hope he announces soon.
I don't like this suspense either. So Fred, what else were you reading this week?
For me, one book that wasn't creator-owned was West Coast Avengers by Kelly Thompson. Man, that book was a lot of fun. I'm so glad that she's writing, like, both the Hawkeye characters. I mean, man, the voice that she has for younger characters is so great. And, you know, she's a great writer. I can't wait to see what she does on Uncanny X-Men, too, because that's going to be great. Another thing that I read was, like, Gasolina, Volume 1. That book... I forgot who the creators, I didn't write it down, but it takes place in Veracruz, Mexico, and in the book, it deals with cartels and has, like, sci-fi aspects, kind of like Dust Till Dawn-y meets, like, Tremors in a way. It was pretty good. Once the Trade 2 comes out, I'm definitely going to check that out. Die, 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 Image, Robert Kirkman, Scott Gimple, Chris Burnham, Nathan Farburn, that is like total intensity, blood, everything. That book has like, it's like intense either dialogue, images, it's just totally intense. That book's crazy. And since we did like, you know, Christopher Sabella today, I did read Cold War because I want to check out some other books by him. Aftershock, I read the first two. That book's really good too. And I think it's drawn by Hayden Sherman, and they both did, like, letters. It's co-created, that book is. I'll give you some time there, Andrew. I got a few more.
That's okay. You're on a roll. I mean, you had some of mine as well. I like Die, Die, Die. I was telling you, I read Hit Girl and Die, Die, Die back to back, and all I got was violence, 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 and blood, and it was great. And then that Hit Girl, oh my god, the mouth on that young girl. They don't pull any punches the way they have her curse. It's a good arc. The Hit Girl arc has been fun. I'm curious how it ends up. Die, Die, Die is going somewhere interesting. There's a nice little twist in it this time. Both of those high from a creator owned. DC, Detective was great. It ended the run that I wish didn't end, but I feel a little better now that he's doing Outsiders that Brian Hill did. But it was a great issue of Detective. There's some great interactions between Black Lightning and Batman and Katana and Batman. Very good stuff. Justice League Dark was very good. I like that backstory on Diana about some of the magic she encountered when she was a young girl on Themyscira. And yeah, it was really good. And then finally, you liked the young Hawkeyes. I really liked Old Man Hawkeye. I love that. And right now he's teamed up with Kate Bishop on that. So Kate Bishop is mature and Hawkeye's old as dirt. And it's a really good adventure. They still have some great interactions. And the villain is Bullseye. And Bullseye is outstanding in this comic. I recommend that highly, Old Man Hawkeye.
Another book I've been reading, The Black Panther, Ta-Nehisi Coates. He's been on Black Panther for a few years now, and this new run is is still good. It's like kind of Black Panther in space. Great book, man. If you're not reading Black Panther, I definitely suggest you read it. I've been catching up on some Fantastic Four stuff through Marvel Unlimited 2 as well. I've been kind of reading some of that stuff as well. That's mostly what I've been doing, you know, mostly Marvel stuff.
Right on. Yeah, well, I binged all of the Black Hammer books. I read the side books. I read Sherlock Frankenstein and Dr. Star, which are some other characters that had their own little books. That took a big chunk of my reading time. I still haven't read all my DC for this week. So that's why I'm not throwing out Action or Wonder Woman or some of these other ones. People might say, hey, you're not talking about it. I haven't read them, guys. It just hasn't happened yet. Fred?
I also read like a book from Alterna Comics. It's called Scrimshaw. The first 3 issues. I think it's written by Eric Borden, Dave Mem, Spike. Oh, I can't say your last name, bro. I'm sorry. But that book was good. I really like a lot of books that Alterna is putting out, and for the price point, it's amazing, like the work that they do and that they put out. And a lot of these creators, like most of them, kind of like draw their own stuff and letter it too, which adds to it. I also read Black Betty from Action Lab, Danger Zone. That was a great book. Let's see, Bedtime Games, Dark Horse, Nick Keller, Connor Nolan, Kelly Fitzpatrick. That book kind of has like a Freddy Krueger feel. And a book that I really enjoy is by the guys at Five Meats Comics, Mashbone and Grifty.
Yeah,
that book is
these guys.
That book is fun. It references like blood in, blood out, like just like the tone. Like I grew up in that area that was predominantly like Hispanic, so like they, like that has like the whole overtone of like how we would talk to each other at school and stuff. And Oscar Garza, and is it Rolando Esquivel? How do you?
Esquivel.
Esquivel, sorry, Rolando. Mm-hmm. I know you guys follow us on Twitter, and you probably listen. It's a good book, man. I bought the first 2. They put out some really good stuff out there, and they make good shirts too.
Yes, definitely do. You know, I just thought of 2 others that I looked at. I don't know if people are aware, but Comixology is putting out their own original books now. And I had a little insomnia last night, and I came across a book called Grave Danger. There's 2 issues, and it's a Tim Seeley book. And Wow. It was pretty good. I really enjoyed it. I had a good time watching that. I mean, reading that, excuse me. And Chris, anything else to add?
I gotta think. Again, just like last week, you know, been watching some movie. Oh, that's another one. Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. I keep up with that one. It's been going on for a while now. It's just these fun little contained stories within the Marvel Universe that I really like. I'm so glad that, you know, I'm so glad that it hasn't been canceled, that she hasn't gone anywhere, that it's maintained kind of the popularity. I read Punisher. Punisher is back to kind of his roots. He gave back the suit, so he doesn't have the War Machine suit anymore.
Good.
I think they kind of closed that arc, and he's back in New York City. I believe he's teamed up with your favorite. He's with Daredevil.
That's where it belongs.
Yeah, so they're kind of doing that, which has been good. Sentry, which I spoke about. And that's kind of what I've been reading. I haven't gotten around to West Coast Avengers yet. I really want to get to that. And Fred recommends it. I know when he recommends Marvel, it's got to be good. So, you know,
yeah,
I'm down. Yeah, so I'm going to check that out too.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that's kind of the only ones I read. I'm sure, Fred, you must have at least one more.
I started the first trade of Wicked and Divine because everybody's been talking about it. I'm sure you see it all over Twitter. Well, I'm just catching on to it. So it's very interesting. I got to read some more, though.
Excellent. Well, that's kind of it for our show this week then. We went over the books we loved. We talked about Jeff Lemire. We talked about some great creator-owned books up top. And we're also excited for the Outsiders and possibly the return of the old school Defenders. So, guys, my name is Andrew. You can find me at Real Comics, RealComics on Twitter. Chris, where can they find you?
You could find me on at Panels and Hoodies, Panels underscore Hoodies, sorry, on Twitter. Please follow, interact. I just want to say thank you guys for listening. If you're listening and you've downloaded, please give us your feedback. I have a great time doing this with my co-host, and it's really great to see you guys interact. So follow on Twitter. We can talk about comics. I'm a big gamer. All of that stuff. So definitely check us out. All
right. And Fred, where can people find you?
You can find me at Comics Fred on Twitter. I go by the name Fred Reads Comics because that's what I do. Also, I just want to give a shout out to like the Nation Nerds podcast for helping us get this stuff started. Go check out their reviews at the Comic Book Core. They have a site there that where they review a lot of books. Some of the books that we even review here on the show. And they also have a Patreon account too. So if you want to hit them up, show some love to them, that would be a good idea too.
Yeah, definitely. Check out their podcast. It's very entertaining. They talk about a lot of the same books we do. Plus they mix in the Marvel and DC. So you get a little bit of everything. Definitely check them out. Well, I also want to throw out our podcast page. It's at Street, STREET, Level, LVL, Floppy, FLOPPY. Follow us there. You can get updates on our podcast. You can get the different links. We are available pretty much everywhere now that you can find a podcast. If you are on iTunes, if you like Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or a direct link to our Libsyn page, they can all be found there on our page. And we'll also on YouTube. So there's many ways to follow us, many ways to listen to us. Please subscribe, leave a review. That'd be really nice. And yeah, so that's all I have for this week, guys. And I appreciate you coming back to see us one more time and can't wait to see you next week. So Fred, what do we say?
Just like the streets we call our home, show some love for the creator. Oh, we out.